pray that the Lord will continue with us. Just to those that are concerned about me, she has an inner ear thing, and she knows about it when it's coming on. So that she was going to go and sit in the back seat of the car to see if it would pass over. But only it would come out, and she said, I'll take her home. So she'll go home, just go to bed, and then she'll be more annoyed at me coming out of the meeting than an ending. So I'd have face you and face her. So maybe we commence our reading. We're in Acts chapter 7. When I was reading this, I was thinking of Josiah during the week. And Josiah went about to rebuild the temple, and Hilkiah the priest was going through the building, and they found the word of God and rubbish. And I was thinking that it's good to have God's word. And it's even better to hear God's word. But the greatest blessing of them all is to heed God's word. James 1:19-25 tells us that. And I was just thinking, imagine losing the word of God in the house of God. Amen. And sadly, that is what's happening today. They've lost the word of God and they've brought in other things. Yes. And it must grieve the God, our God, greatly in these days. Stephen reviews the history of the nation under the fallen heads. It was good to hear about Abraham this morning. That sort of sealed what I was going to say this morning. You know, the death of Stephen was a mighty scene. Stephen means crown or crowned. Revelations tells us that we'll all receive the crown of life. But Abraham, we find in Acts 7, we'll be at Acts, well, we're going into Acts 9, but I'm only picking out wee bits to save time. In Acts 7, we find him, Stephen, previewing the history of a nation. In 2 to 8, verses 2 to 8 of 7, it tells us Abraham is the father of the family. In 9 to 16, we find that Joseph is the saviour of the people. And we find in 17 to 36, we find the nation in bondage in Egypt. And we find in 37 to 43, Moses, the deliverer of the nation. And we find in 44 to 50, we find in the promised land, Joshua, David, and Solomon. We find in 44 the tabernacle, we mentioned the tabernacle, and then he speaks of the temple in 47. And then he goes to the universe. Who built the universe? And then he comes to the conclusion, and I want you to come to the conclusion with me in Acts chapter 7 and coming in at verse 51 to save time. And this is what Stephen says in his defense. "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, our Lord, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers." That's brave talking, brothers and sisters, isn't it? "Whom have received the law by disposition of angels and have not kept it." It was straight to the point. See, nobody goes straight to the point nowadays. Don't offend anybody, because they'll leave. They're leaving anyway, because of simple reason, the word of God is not getting preached and the saints are not getting teached. So we find the conclusion is that our betrayers are murderers. We find that it continues again in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8 we find the persecution of the saints and the church. Verse 1 of Acts chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death. That was Stephen's death. Because you'll find in 7, he was standing holding the jackets or the clothes when Stephen was getting stoned. Saul was agreeing with all this. And it says Saul was consenting unto the death. At that time, there was a great persecution. So this, when the death was going on, and even when he was getting buried, the church was getting persecuted. And the saints were getting persecuted. These days are not far away, brothers and sisters. They're not far away. The church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered. They're all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Everybody else scattered. "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made a great lamentation over him. And for Saul, he made havoc on the church, entering every house, and healing men and women, and committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the words." See, what use is light if it can't shine? What use is salt in the salt cellar if you can't scatter it? What use is a seed if you can't scatter it to grow a harvest? No matter what the difficulties, they still went about the Lord's business. I've got an incident here this morning to hinder me, I believe. I believe that Satan doesn't want this to be said. They still went about their business. They still went about the word of God. See, in Acts chapter 9, as I said, I'm heading towards chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And you know the great story of Saul's conversion. I'm going to read 4 verses, and then we're going to finish at the 4 verses. "And Saul yet breathing and threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. And he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, want you to remember them words, of this way, whether were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And he journeyed, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest me? There's no doubt that Saul may have been thinking that he was doing the right thing. That's why when I was reading this, I was thinking about this. He thought he was defending the law. He thought he was defending the Jewish religion. And Philippians 3 and 5 and 6 tells us this. And it's Saul, it's speaking. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal and persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He thought it was blameless. He was thought he was doing the work of God. And many things are about today, I think they're doing the same thing. Yeah. Someone wrote this: a big head is no use to you unless he has the helmet of salvation. Oh, yeah. And that's true. Here was Saul giving out what he is. And man, he was some man. He belonged to some family. He had the best. He sat with Gamaliel Tuttle. The best education. But it was all wrong. It was all wrong. Come with me to Galatians chapter 1, please. Galatians chapter 1, but come in at verse 8, please. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which we preach of me is not after man. For neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversion in the time past, the Jews' religion, and how beyond the measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equal in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathens, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, Near I went up to Jerusalem, which were the apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, and returned again to the unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. This was Paul speaking after his conversion. Brothers and sisters, he thought he was doing right. You and I, we thought we were doing right as well. And we were all wrong. We thought our church was the best place that ever was been. We thought they were teaching the right things. But they weren't. We were unsaved. And we defended our part of the wee corner. You can hear them today. Oh, I go to my church. I have my own church. I have my own place. Men and women have been killed through the centuries in the name of God and religions. Religions man made. It's a way for man to seek God. But God seeks man through the gospel. Amen. There are many religions, but there's only one gospel. Amen. And so, friends, this morning, as we look through the centuries and see what has happened in the name of God and religion, yeah. And friends, you can put any tag you like on it. But let us listen to this. None of us have any say where we're born or where we're brought up or the tag you label, it's labelled on you or what you carry. We have no choice. I was born in Scotland. I didn't have any say. You were born here. You didn't have any say. You went to the Presbyterian church. Went to the Free Church. You didn't have any say. But friend, if you listen to me this morning, you have a say. Friends, you do have a say when it comes to the Word of God. Because why we're sitting here, we're all saved. Because we believe the Word of God and we come out of the places that we were in. That's what God's Word did. You didn't do it. I didn't do it. God done it. If you're at the age of understanding, the Lord tells us that you must be born again. John 3:7. And all you have to say, friend, tonight or this morning, is either yes or no. No one else. Believe. We heard of Abraham this morning. He believed. You and I believed the word of God this morning. Yeah. Saved by grace this morning. What is God saying this morning, brothers and sisters, to us all and to those that may be listening? Listen to it. Calvary covers it all. The Lord said, I'm doing it a different way. How different is he doing it? Ephesians 2 and 13 tells us that the middle wall has been torn in two. The wall of partition. Jew and Gentile. It's gone. We're in one body in Christ. One body in Christ this morning. No Scotchman, no Irishman, no Welshman, and no Englishman. Or any other thing. The price has been paid by the Lamb of God. Who was the Lamb of God? He was God's Son, left the splendors of heaven, knew his destiny, died upon a cross for sinners, because we are sinners, for all our sin, and came short of the glory of God. By his death and resurrection, we have found a way back to God. As I said, there's many religions, but only one gospel. Romans 1 and 6. Stain, we all know it, don't we? The gospel is good news. It's good news for mankind. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. See, Saul was breathing out persecution with his every breath. He had zeal to do away with these boys that was trying to down his religion. And there's people today are trying to put down the word of God this morning. It's not a religion. It's the word of God. And it's up to us to stand up for it. See, there was no half measures about Saul before his conversion and after his conversion. It was done with all his might. Can you remember when you were first saved? Man, you couldn't keep us back. We couldn't be held back. We couldn't get enough meetings. What's happened to us? What's happened to us? Colossians 2:3-23 says this. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto man. See, know what's happening in our days. It's all show. It's all show. Look what I'm doing. And you do it unto the Lord. Amen. I read the story about, maybe I mentioned this one time before, but it doesn't matter. And it made me smile. It was about a best man at a wedding, and he was signing the register. And the ink in the pen has dried up. Or was starting to dry up. And the preacher shouted, put your weight on it. And he wrote, 11 stone, 3 pounds. I smiled at that. But friends, the preacher was right. Are we putting our weight in the Lord's work. Paul did. He never changed. He was zeal to get rid of the Christians. And he got zeal to preach the word of God. What's happened to us? What's happened to you, friend? If you're not saved, you're going to hell. Or if you are saved and you're doing nothing. The verse, I ask you to remember the three words. And desired of him the letters to Damascus, to synagogues, that if he found any of this way. The people were of this way were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not called Christians till Antioch years later. I think it tells you in Acts 11:26, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. See, of this way, there's only one way. There's only one way to live. There's only one way to walk. There's only one way to talk. Some people call it the narrow way. Yes, there's a narrow way and there's a broad way. Thank the Lord that we're on the narrow way. See, the saints of God are witnesses for Christ. Their way of life is determined by their faith in Jesus Christ. For by grace ye are saved through faith, not of yourself. It's the gift of God, nor of works, lest any man should boast. We have none to boast about. Remember John, in John 14, Thomas said unto the Lord, how can we know the way? Jesus says to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We have the Lord and his grace and his mercy and his death and his resurrection and the cross of Calvary and his precious blood to thank for. That we are on the way. We are in the right way. Thank God. Timothy 1, 2 and 6 tells us there's only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ. Don't be going anywhere else, friend. Because the only one that will help you is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Men, someone said this, men are like Cain's wanderers. And so as mankind, wanderers. I thought it was a good thought. Because Scripture says they've all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Romans 3:23 verifies that up. For all have sinned and came short of the glory of God. All we like as sheep have gone astray. We'll turn everyone to his own way. What way are we going? And the Lord has laid on him iniquity of us all. Colossians 2:6 says this. As you have therefore received Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him on the way. So it's not only something for you are not saved, friend, but for us that are saved. Because remember, judgment starts at the Christian force. I read Dietrich Bonhoeffer a lot, and he says about that verse, Colossians 2:6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so ye walk in him on the way. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, on the 9th of April 1944, was hanged on a tree by the Nazis in Germany, just before the invasion of Germany. And on the tree there's a memorial where he was hung. And it says this: Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a witness to Jesus Christ among his brethren. Well, you would have to take note of somebody that was saying something, wouldn't you? If he took that length to save the Jews from the Nazis and to stand up against the Nazis in his time of life. And here what he says about this verse, and I hope you accept, like, you know, I like to keep it to the Bible, but here's what he says. We are to learn to understand ourselves now as those who have been placed on the way and no longer can do anything other than walk in it. When Christ calls us, he invites us not so much to accept a spiritual experience, but to embrace a whole new way of living. As we embrace the beginning of this journey, we have little idea of what we may encounter further down the road. Blessings come as unexpected surprises. Difficulties come at inappropriate times. And as we journey on, the sheer weight of our ongoing commitment may press in upon us. At times may we be sorely tempted to forsake this journey. But where else can we go? No one else has the words of eternal life. Friends, that's challenging by a man who gave his life for his Lord. It's headed on the way. We're on the way. Because there's only one way. But friends, and brothers and sisters, we're on that way for a reason. We're not on the way for a holiday camp. No, no. He says in Psalm 119, teach me, O Lord, the ways of thy statutes, and I shall keep it on to the end. What did Paul say? Fought the good fight. That's what we're trying to do. Are we trying to fight the good fight?
He says in this statement, the way is clear for us. We're on the way, and the way is clear. God calls us to forsake our own ideas and to embrace His. It's there. His ideas. Oh, I've got my own ideas, aye. Mm-hmm. He challenges us to put Him first. And ourselves last. Do I? Do you? And you listening, do you? Have you accepted Him as Lord and Saviour? He draws us to live by His words and critically suspect our own worldly wisdom. I was reading the other day about a well-known Christian, a well-known man of God, and something happened in his life and he went to a friend. He drove for miles and miles, and when he got to his friend, they talked about this thing, and as he left a wee bit better feeling, and when he left on the way back home again, the Holy Spirit says to him, "Why didn't you come to me?" See, we do it ourselves. He draws us to live by His words. He maps out the way rather than leave us to stumble in the dark. There's our map there. Oh friend, if we would only see ourselves as others see us. Robbie Burns said that. If we'd only see ourselves as God sees us. I'm not surprised that the devil was trying to hinder this meeting this morning. And me and you, he says to me, "Don't you go." He leads the way and calls us to follow, rather than leaving us to set our own goals. And that's what we do, don't we? We set them to suit ourselves. Living our lives God's way is the way of truth and of wisdom. Now, if that's not advice, I don't know what is. Then we go to God. Led by the Holy Spirit. And let Him deal with the thing. Amen. For us. In verse 4, as I finish, he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why has thou persecuted me?" Friends, did you notice what it says there? It was not, "Why did you persecute the Christians?" Or, "Why did you persecute Stephen or Philip?" But he said, "Why do you persecute me?" That's wonderful. It's not wonderful, it's marvellous. To think
It was said this morning by Bert in prayer. See, the people of God constitute the body of Christ. And he is the head. He is the head. I have a sore foot this morning. And I have a sore back. My head knows my body is sore. And it's hurting. A brother mentioned this morning, there's a part of the body went out this morning sick or not well. And the head knows about it. So what have they got to worry about, friends? Come on now. What have we got to worry about? God knows all about us. So does my Saviour.
Praise God.
I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you.
Amen.
Jesus says, I am the way. We're on the way to a place prepared for us. He's the way. And we're so much to thank him for it. And when we get these difficulties coming upon us, so we're all the same, aren't we? It's that fleshly thing that's in us. As it's already been said this morning, it's we're not all there yet. And we'll not be right until the Lord comes. And we'll be changed. Because we were talking about the children of Israel. But remember from Genesis, when the Lord said, let there be light. There was a change. But you go to Genesis, the last verse in Genesis. And where is that ending up? It's ending up a man in a coffin. Death. And that's what sin has done to mankind. God has given us a way. And it's up to us to live in that way. And it's up to you, friend, to take that way. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word this morning. And we'll wee hymn, and we'll just sing the hymn, and that'll be our meeting over. It's 447 and the 447.